Today's digest for June 15, 2026. 10 stories today. We start with the US government forcing Anthropic to pull two of its most capable models, then move through what AI is really doing to software engineering work, a clever hardware backdoor, a curl maintainer hitting pause on security reports, a fresh data breach, and a model that may not be what it claims. Here's the rundown. We start with the biggest story in AI this week. On Friday the 12th, the US government issued an export control directive ordering Anthropic to suspend all access to its two newest models, Fable 5 and Mythos 5, that covers foreign nationals inside and outside the United States, and even Anthropic's own foreign national employees, and the company disabled both models to comply. The stated reason was national security. Officials said they had found a way to jailbreak Fable 5 into identifying software vulnerabilities. Anthropic counters that the evidence was a narrow, non-universal technique that surfaced only minor, already known flaws, and argued this should not be cause for recalling a model used by hundreds of millions of people. Reporting from the Wall Street Journal ties the move to concerns Amazon's chief executive raised with the White House. Every other Claude model stays online. Next up, a reality check on AI and software jobs from developer Simon Willison. His argument is blunt. The mass engineer layoffs that AI was supposed to trigger simply have not shown up, and they won't, because writing code was never the real bottleneck. He points to New York's labor notification law, where more than 160 companies filed required layoff notices, and not one cited AI as the cause. The actual hard parts of the job, he says, are deciding what to build, verifying, and being accountable for what gets delivered, and holding the deep context of a code base and a business in your head. AI can accelerate the typing, but those judgment-heavy tasks are exactly where human engineers still earn their keep. It's a useful counterweight to the louder claims that coding is now a solved profession. Building on that, a new study puts a number on the cleanup cost. According to research from New Relic, AI-generated code introduces close to twice as many critical runtime issues as peer-reviewed human-written code. Site reliability and DevOps engineers told the researchers they are losing up to a third of their workweek triaging and refactoring machine-generated output that already made it into production. A large majority of organizations reported at least one production failure tied to AI code in the past 6 months, and roughly 3 in 10 were hit by a new security vulnerability, introduced the same way. The core problem is that these tools generate code from reading source alone, with no view into runtime conditions, edge cases, and real dependencies. So the weaknesses only surface after deployment. The speed is real, but so is the back-end tax. Also today, TechCrunch frames the AI layoff wave as a building powder keg. Roughly 150,000 tech workers have been cut across more than 360 layoffs this year. Many officially blamed on AI, even as the same companies post record profits. Investor Mark Andreessen calls AI a convenient silver bullet excuse for what is often plain mismanagement and pandemic-era overhiring, claiming most large companies are overstaffed by half. The tension is the contrast. As tens of thousands lose work, a small circle of insiders is getting spectacularly rich. The article notes that SpaceX's public offering alone is estimated to have minted around 4,400 millionaires, while Meta cut 8,000 jobs. With cost of living the top economic worry for most Americans, the piece warns the optics echo the anger of 2008, but without an obvious crash to pin it on. Turning to security research, a team from the University of Tennessee and the University of Florida has demonstrated a neural network backdoor, called Hemlock, that hides by splitting itself across hardware and software. In software, they tweak just a handful of network weights, so a secret trigger produces an unusually strong internal signal. A tiny Trojan baked into the chip watches for that signal and forces a wrong answer. The model on its own never misclassifies anything, so it looks completely clean. That is what makes it dangerous. Standard detection tools hunt for a model that misbehaves, and this one doesn't, until the malicious hardware is in the loop. It targets the custom silicon that runs AI on edge devices, adds almost no hardware overhead, and hit near-perfect success in testing. The fix, the researchers say, is to verify the hardware and the model together, not separately. In open source, curl creator Daniel Stenberg is doing something unusual. From July 1st through August 2nd, the project will stop accepting vulnerability reports entirely. The HackerOne submission form goes dark, and security emails sent during that window won't be processed either. Stenberg frames it as a response to relentless pressure, a months-long deluge of reports that has worn maintainers down, and he is candid that he does not expect that flood to end. Regular GitHub issues and pull requests stay open, and paid support customers are unaffected. He calls it a put-your-own-oxygen-mask-on-first moment for open-source sustainability. It's a small but pointed signal about what the steady rise of low-quality, often AI-generated security reports is doing to the volunteers who keep critical infrastructure alive. On the breach front, the monitoring service, Have I Been Pwned, has added a new entry for Berkadia, a commercial real estate finance firm. The breach exposed roughly 305,000 accounts and traces back to an incident in March. Attackers from the group known as Shiny Hunters hit the company's Salesforce environment and walked away with email addresses, names, physical addresses, phone numbers, and employer details. The crew ran their now familiar pay or leak playbook, demanding extortion money before publicly dumping the stolen data when the company didn't pay. It's another reminder that customer relationship platforms have become a prime target and that a single compromised cloud instance can spill hundreds of thousands of records at once. In workplace tech, Microsoft is rolling out a feature that quietly flips your status to in-office the moment your device connects to a corporate network. It's built into Teams and Microsoft Places, and it's meant to take the manual step out of hybrid attendance tracking. The product lead says the signal fires only when a device joins a configured office network through the Teams client, and that it isn't stored as historical data. Privacy advocates and labor groups aren't reassured. Their objection is about control. Employers enable the feature at the organization level, so individual workers have little real say, even as Microsoft points to personal settings. The company insists it only reflects workplace presence and doesn't track movement, but the gap between employer mandated and employee chosen is exactly what's driving the pushback. Over in the vulnerability trackers, maintainers disclosed a command injection flaw in the GD module for Perl, a longstanding library for generating and editing images and code. The bug, tracked at CVE-2026-11-15-26, lives in an internal file handling routine that used Perl's two-argument open call. That older style lets special characters in a file name get interpreted as shell instructions, so a path an attacker can influence could run arbitrary commands or overwrite files with the program's privileges. Every version before 2.86 is affected, and the fix moves to the safer three-argument form that treats a file name as a literal path. A closely related sibling flaw was disclosed the same day in the config ini files module for the exact same root cause. If you ship Perl that touches images or config files, this is a patch now item. And finally, a model integrity story out of Brazil. A public GitHub issue alleges that Rio de Janeiro's much-promoted homegrown large language model, a claimed 397 billion parameter system, was never trained from scratch at all. The filer argues it is a direct, element-wise merge of an existing open model named Nex with Alibaba's Quenbase, blended at roughly 60% Nex and 40% Quen. The evidence is hard to wave away. Stripped of its Rio system prompt, the model identifies itself as Nex, and a tensor-by-tensor analysis reportedly shows that same 60-40 blend across all 60 layers. There's no documented response yet from the project. It matters because passing off a merge as original training misrepresents a model's real capabilities and methods, and it's the kind of claim that's now easy to check and hard to fake. That's the rundown for June 15th, a turbulent day for Frontier AI, a steady drumbeat of security research, and a few reminders that the hard parts of this work are still stubbornly human. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.